Thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for waking up. Thank you for sun and air and breath, Lord God. Even from the beginning, Lord, awaken our hearts, Lord. Thank you for waking our bodies, but waken our hearts, waken our spirits, Lord. Come and lead us, Lord. We desire you. Amen. All right. Again, for information, for perspective, how many were able to listen to Sam Storm's last message?
Or read it? Some of it.
Some of it.
Some of it, too.
Okay, great. All right, so he covers three topics, and so therefore it's a little bit longer. That last section, 1 Corinthians 14, is covering the interpretation of tongues, judging prophecy, and then women speaking in church. And so all good stuff. But because of time limitations, we're just going to focus on the gift of interpretation of tongues. And from decades back, got to watch Scott actually participate in this. And so thank God that he's around. So he agreed to come on up. So come on, Scott. Who doesn't know Scott Jones? Okay, I've got a couple people. So why don't you start off with a little bit of your testimony, like you wanted to, or...
Okay, sure. I became a Christian back in 1974. So I've been a Christian getting close to 50 years now. But I came to the Lord in 1974 at a charismatic prayer meeting in Quarryville, Pennsylvania. And this was right in the middle of the charismatic movement back in the early 70s, and it was a prayer meeting where the gifts were being used in abundance, to say the least. And everyone was so enthusiastic about the exercise of the gifts and so forth. And one of my first experiences there was hearing the gift of tongues being used there and the interpretation of tongues and so forth. And I recalled before that I grew up in the Presbyterian Church, which at that time were called the Frozen Chosen, and I could recall them talking about people who spoke in tongues and so forth, and I remember thinking distinctly, well, I'm never going to do that kind of thing, but the Lord had other ideas. And so when I came to the Lord, one of the first things I did was speak in tongues. And the thing that I really took away from all of that was that there was really what I would describe as an expectant faith there. People were eager to exercise the gifts. They wanted to exercise them for the benefit of everyone who was there and so forth. And so it was such a really a faith-building atmosphere for people to exercise whatever gifts they had, whether it was speaking in tongues, whether it was interpretation of tongues, and so forth. And for me, I actually started out speaking in tongues in the assembly. I did that some at TAG, I've done that some at Covenant Life, but then there's been a few instances as well where I have interpreted the tongues. And from what we know from Scripture, the interpretation of tongues is giving praise to God, because speaking in tongues is a particular gift that praises God and honors Him and so forth, whereas something like prophecy is more of an interpretive type of gift. As far as speaking to specific situations in English and so forth. And so there have been times when I have had the faith to interpret tongues and speak them out. One of the things that I will do sometimes is that in my own personal prayer life, I will speak in tongues in whatever context I'm in, and then I'll go ahead and interpret those tongues after I do it, and then that way that helps to keep the gift alive and enables me to continue to do it. So that's a little bit of my experience and how I have practiced it over the years.
So, thank you. That's like real helpful right there for me. I'm learning so much right from what you shared. Interesting you use the phrase that people wanted to exercise the gifts for the benefit of the people there. So even back then, you had an awareness that they were desiring to do this to serve others.
Exactly.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's maturity, which, you know, you're really charismatic. You didn't necessarily see maturity and experience there, so that was a great experience. So,
and there were abuses at times and so forth, no question about it. But by and large, people wanted to serve, help other people learn to exercise the gifts and so forth.
So in those occasions where you interpreted the tongue, did you both have the tongue and the interpretation, or are there occasions where someone else is speaking the tongue and you're interpreting?
A little bit of both, but mostly other people speaking.
Okay. So how is that orchestrated? Like, because someone would just go up and share a tongue at that time, and then you follow up, or was there a connection point beforehand? Like, in other words, at what point are you jumping in there to do the interpretation?
I think in the situations I was in, it was more spontaneous, and I felt like I had the interpretation and just came up.
Okay. All right. So, very encouraged that is something that you're still exercising.
Mm-hmm.
So this is still a current thing. The first time that you did that, can you recall, like, what were you going through? Were you thinking, feeling?
Not really sure, because it was such a long time ago. I mean, probably somewhere back in the 70s or something like that,
yeah.
And I just can't really remember.
Okay.
So far back.
Did you get to hear Sam Storm's message on this?
No, I did not.
Okay, yeah. Just be curious how you would...
I'm familiar with Sam Storm's, but...
Yeah. One of the things he ends up touching on is... he would see the interpretation of tongues as some given analysis, okay? In other words, instead of a word-for-word interpretation, you know, you're sharing something in Chinese and I'm giving you, Scott just shared with us about this. And therefore, the length of the interpretation could be much shorter or longer than the actual tongues that's shared. Do you think that was your experience, or some of both, or sometimes with the word, or any guess?
I would doubt that it would usually be word for word or anything. I was in the presence one time in one situation where someone spoke a tongue, and it ended up actually being Greek, and there was a person there who knew Greek, and so was able to actually interpret it probably more or less word for word. For what was spoken, but the tongue was actually Greek.
Cool. Wow. So now, you've also exercised to get the prophecy, right?
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, for yourself, what's the difference in the experience of one, the other? What are the similarities and what are the differences?
I think the similarities obviously are that both are spoken to everyone, whereas the interpretation of tongues is spoken more to the Lord to honor and praise Him and so forth, and then prophetic words are speaking more towards the assembly, people who are gathered there, rather than directly to the Lord. So those would be the primary differences, but I think otherwise the overall experience is more or less the same.
All right, so one of the things we talked about, I think last week or the week before, was, you know, a lot of this, as far as in practicality, works out in small group context. You know, there's so many people on a Sunday with everything else going on and stuff like that. So small group context, how would you see that playing out, or how have you seen that played out in the past? So if people here are wanting to step out and get the interpretation of tongues, what would be setting, what would you be leaning towards, what would you be looking for, or maybe even an example from your own life?
Yeah, I think within like for us in the context of care groups or similar situations, I think that kind of thing could happen. I think that, first of all, it's important that someone have the faith to speak in tongues to start with, for there to be an interpretation. But I think if somebody is wanting to interpret the tongue, it takes seeking the Lord, and like I said, wanting to grow in the gifts, and wanting to do it, and having expectant faith. And I think that phrase, expectant faith, is really important for me, because we can sort of have the laid back type of sense of, oh, I'll just let it come to me or something. But that's not really how God works. If we're looking to exercise gifts, we need to have faith to do it. And it isn't just something that you lay back and just think, well, maybe it'll come sometime or whatever. We need to want to do it, and we need to actually be looking to do it and looking for opportunities to do it. And so that is, I think, really key and just so important. Because God doesn't just have us sit back as spectators or waiting for some kind of wave to come upon us. He wants us to act with faith. And if we have that kind of expectant faith to speak out, he'll honor that and he'll bring it about.
Great word. Good word.
So since tongues is usually praised towards God, is like every time that you did interpretation tongues, like probably in the setting of worship, or could it be coming at another time?
I think usually during a worship time, or if there was a time of ministry for someone or a group of people or whatever, maybe it can come out in that kind of context. But I would say by and large, it's usually during times of worship.
So just praying for people, you could also be right. Time ministry. Mm-hmm. Questions you guys got? Dave?
Yeah, question. Do you get an impression, or do you see a picture, or do you see ticker tape? Words come wrong. How does that that come to you? So you hear someone give a tongue, and then, yeah. How does that come?
Yeah, I think for me generally, I mean, it may, the experience of it may be different for different people, but I think for me it's just generally an impression that comes on me. The Lord prompts me to go ahead and speak out and go ahead and give the interpretation, or if it's a prophetic word or whatever, and I see that word, and I just go ahead and speak it.
Is it mostly the same way you do it, or is it different at different times? So like, is it mostly an impression, or is it you find that at times you've noticed it expressing itself differently?
Probably by and large an impression. There can be times when maybe like strong emotion comes along with it. Or whatever, it's not going to always be the same, at least for me anyway. But I think by and large, it's an impression, or maybe sometimes I will see a picture as well along with it. But I would say by and large, an impression, and then the Lord starts giving me words.
Hey, Scott. Back then, it sounds like the church you went to was kind of international. Speak in tongues, somebody has a different language, could hear what you have to say, that they interpret that. Is that what happened?
When I speak in tongues and someone else interprets?
Yeah, it seems like it's a different language than they got. Mm-hmm. Somebody else knows that language, probably from another country. They don't even know what they're talking about. Is that what happened?
In the situation where Greek was being spoken, yes, that happened then. I don't know what language my speaking in tongues is. I don't really have any idea, but I don't know, maybe there would be someone out there who would know.
But
Okay.
Yeah, what would you say is the link or the relationship of all these to tongues and diverse kind of tongues for intercession? Because somehow I think that has been my experience, that when there is need for heavy intercession, I experience speaking in tongues and in diverse kind of tongues. So how do, what was the relationship of all these two, of that to what we are talking about?
Yeah, I think that you have a very legitimate question there, because in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and so forth, it does talk about it being a word of praise to the Lord, and yet we look at Romans 8 and it seems like that Paul is speaking in terms of intercession at that point. I don't know that I would know exactly how to reconcile both those points. I think the only thing I can think of is that perhaps what Paul was referring to would be tongues that would be urgent requests to God, which in and of itself is a form of praise, because we're seeking God and we're seeking His will in our lives. And to know His way and His word and so forth, or if we're interceding for friends or family or whoever it may be, we're seeking the Lord, and that in and of itself is praise, because we're leaning on Him and seeking Him. So that may be the link, but otherwise I wouldn't say that I'm really sure how to reconcile that.
Ron?
Do you notice any physiological changes when you hear the tongues and when you feel like an interpretation? Do you feel like a welling up inside of you? Do you feel like I've got to get this out? Is it something like a physiological, like you feel something?
Yeah, I think I do. When in the book of Jeremiah, he talks about a fire that is in his heart and he has to speak God's word. And I think it's a very much the same kind of thing whenever I'm giving a prophetic word or if I'm interpreting tongues or whatever it may be. There is definitely something that wells up in my heart and I have to speak it.
Yes.
Because I can't keep that in my being. I have to get it out.
Have you ever suppressed it and not, like didn't speak? Have you ever not spoken when you've had that feeling?
Yes, there have been times when I did not speak out.
And I knew afterward
that I should have. And in that time, God has been gracious and somebody else has spoken a word out.
Yes.
But yeah, there has been some times like that.
Tony?
How do you feel about some churches? I mean, there is at times debate about this. Churches where the one who's in the pulpit will lead people to pray in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
He does it, they do it. There is no interpretation, but just doing that. Is there a situation that you think that is acceptable?
Given my understanding of Scripture, I would say at the very least it's questionable, because it says that there should be an interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's no interpretation, then how do people use that and how do people grow from it?
Because some people debate that, well, if we're praising the God collectively, then we're not doing anything with each other as
right.
far as communicating or praying. And, based on that, they believe it's acceptable. That's
right.
That's why.
Yeah, the one thing I would say is that if I'm in the midst of a Sunday meeting or whatever it may be, there are times in worship when, like in between songs or whatever, where I will speak in tongues to myself,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. But it's to myself, and it's not for the benefit of anyone around me or anything like that. And Paul makes it clear that that is legitimate. And it may be that if somebody is having everyone in the building speak in tongues, if they're doing it to themselves or whatever, then they edify themselves, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians, that might be okay. But if everybody is talking aloud all at the same time, and it's and it becomes uproarious in some way, then I'm not sure that benefits people.
It's interesting that the last passage of the end of 14, he finishes up everything being in order. Mm-hmm. And so, like Sam Storms mentioned, yeah, you can have group context where everybody's speaking in tongues. You know, the context of the given assembly for gathering together for the edification of people obviously got out of control. And so, no, that's usually not the, that's not where it's really helpful, you know, because we're there to build one another up. But yeah, you can have other contexts like that. You can see that. But yeah, I like that balance where Paul's saying, exercise the gifts, keep order. Exercise the gifts, keep order. You know, and it keeps encouraging both of those. You know, and what keeps both of them together? 13, love. You know, so if my focus is to love God, love others, I think I am both pursuing gifts, and I'm pursuing order.